chapter 37. Again, I want to say thank you to this church and thank you to my brother, your kind pastor, and their family. Appreciate all the everything you guys have done for us. Great bed we got to sleep in. Accommodations have just been perfect. So I want to say thank you to, I know your pastor's wife's not here, Sister Gina Newman, but I do appreciate it. I'm thankful this morning. How many got up early today? Got up early and maybe ate some breakfast, drank some coffee. But I like getting up early, looking at, watching the sunrise. You know, there's 6 o'clock comes around more than once a day. Maybe 6 a.m., 6 p.m. Some people never seen that 6 a.m. I like getting up early, studying, reading. It just seems like it's our routine. We get up and get ready to go to church. My wife and I are extremely involved in the church up there in McGrand, partakers of services, and do all that stuff, get things ready to go. But again, I want to say thank you guys very much. And it's good to have all of our visitors here this morning. It's good to see y'all. And then there's new faces here that I didn't see the last time I was here. That's good. That's awesome. Amen. What a good time we had last night, huh? Amen. It was fun going and playing and having fun. If you guys didn't make it, you missed out. We had a good time. Ezekiel chapter 37 starts out like this. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Look at your neighbor and say, "Very dry."
Very dry.
Very dry. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, Prophesy to these bones, and saying to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for this great church. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for this hour and this time, God, that you've given us together. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the ear of the hearing, God. Touch and anoint my mouth and step into my shoes today. Lord, touch us in your mighty name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Why don't you shake your neighbor's hand, smile, and tell them it's nice to see you this morning. Amen. Tell them you can sit down. Thank you, Jesus. Right. What's that? We're good to go? All right, y'all ready?
Yeah.
Geographical location of this valley is very important. This second scripture, man, it gives us a very detailed account of what had happened there. Prophet Ezekiel was praying, and he was in the spirit. The Lord said, it says here in the setting of scripture, said he took him down to this valley. This valley represented a place where there had been a battle. There had been a struggle. There had been a fight. There had been a This is a low point in their life. The Bible tells us that it was between two mountains. We live in a valley up there in the Grand. It's called the Valley of Peace. The Grand Mont Valley is completely surrounded by mountains. It's a low spot. It's a spot in this setting of Scripture. It's a spot where there was destruction and there was chaos and there was confusion. And no doubt there was an extreme loss. And it was over a period of time that these bones, this army, they had died and they had decayed and they had come to a point where it was utter loss. It was utter destruction. It was final. It was over. It was death and decay. And the atmosphere had played a great role on this particular valley where this army was. In this valley where these bones were, they had sat there for a long time. They had been in this place for quite some time. Because the Bible tells us that this valley that was full of bones, these bones were very dry. These bones had got to the point where the moisture and the very life was completely sucked out of them. They had gotten to the point where the sun had baked them. The sun had baked them so much to where they were extremely dry. The Bible tells us they were very dry bones. And in this valley, no doubt they were scattered among, amen, the places under the brush and under a rock and over here and over there. The Bible tells us as it goes along in this story that this army stood up, an exceeding great army. There was quite a few bones. If you could get the picture this morning, it wasn't just one or two, but there were very many, and they were very dry. Kind of like my mouth is right now. Excuse me. Is this mine? You didn't drink out of this? It's good? All right. It wasn't cracked. Yeah. Is you sure this is good? It's not refill day, huh? Very dry. Something had wounded them in a valley. Something had happened in this valley. Something had taken place in this valley that caused a great loss. Can I tell you this morning, if you're going through a valley, if you go through a hard time, if you go through a tough time, it seems as if you can't get from one mountaintop to the other. And sometimes God takes us into valleys, and sometimes God takes us to low points and low times in our lives where we cry out to God. Can I tell you, in this valley, this is where something happened to someone, this great army. It wasn't just one individual, it was an army of people. Something happened in this valley, and the Bible tells us that they were very dry, and this valley was a low point, and this valley was the finality of a great army. Can I tell you this morning, that's not where God wants to lead you.
Right.
God never intended for you to stay in the valley. God never intended for you to dry up. God never intended for you, your bones to decay. Right. Amen. And be so destroyed by something, a climatic experience in your life, something that happened. The Bible says he passed about this valley.
Yes.
And he began to look at the bones, and he began to ask the Lord, can these bones live? God, can these bones really live? It's too much destruction. It's too much chaos. There's too much hurt. God, there's too much destruction here. There's too much that has gone on. God, this is impossible. There's no way that these bones can live. You see how dry they are? You see how empty this valley is? You see the destruction? God, only you know that these bones can live. And many times we live our lives as individuals thinking God is not with us. God is not near us. We're in some low points in our life. Can I tell you this morning, it's not the finality. It's not over. It's not the ending. You might have come through a dry time. You might have come through a valley. But can I tell you this morning, that's not the end. It's not over. It's not the finality today. Can I tell you, the Lord wants to move in this place. And God wants to speak while you're in your valley and pull you out of that valley. Can you clap your hands to the Lord this morning? Your psychiatrist might tell you, man, you got a long way to go. Your family doctor might tell you, this is over. And I begin to think, I was talking to a man the other day about Legion. Anybody know the story of Legion? And that dude was a mess. He was a tore up jack to what he was. I begin to think about this. I preached this a few days ago. Legion wasn't your model citizen. I doubt he had many many people that were behind him for the candidacy of mayor. I doubt he would have been a good family psychiatrist or your counselor. The Bible tells us he was possessed many devils. But that's not the end of the story of Legion.
Right.
That's not the end of the story of Legion. You see, Jesus Christ, when he went across the water, he had one man in mind. And the man that he had in mind was somebody that was so tormented by things in his life, so tormented by his past. Outcast. They bound him with chains and fetters. They put him in the tomb. They said, this is where you belong, man. You're an outcast. You're good for nothing. You're worthless. And he would tear and he'd pluck those chains that nothing could bind him. It's the spirits that were inside of him, the things that had bound him for so long. But when Jesus went to the other side, he came running. There wasn't one devil that had possessed him that could keep him from touching Jesus. There wasn't one thing in his life that could keep him or prevent him from touching the Lord. And the Bible tells us when he saw Jesus, he started running. He started running to him. Amen. The Lord healed him that day. The Lord delivered him that day. And the Bible tells us when the city came out to see him, they saw this man that was so far out of his mind. They saw him sitting and clothed. And clothed is an important part. I'm glad I got clothes on today. Clothed is an important part, but more than that, they saw him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. God had restored his mind. God had renewed his mind. God gave him his mind back. He got his thinking straight. God turned around. Amen. The things that seem like chaos, the things that seem like final. Legion, you're going to have to live in those tombs the rest of your life. Oh, but not when Jesus shows up on the scene. Can I tell you what Jesus shows up on the scene? He can forgive you. He can redeem you. He can restore you. He can cleanse your mind. Thank you, Jesus. This valley I'm talking about this morning, the Bible tells us there's a great army there. I don't know if y'all ever been to many deserts. Reno is kind of a desert. Y'all don't have many trees. Up by Tahoe, there's some trees. But man, you go through a desert. You go through a dry time. You go through a confusing time. You go through a time of trouble. You go through a time, amen, of confusion. Maybe a time of just struggle. And it seems like you can't find any water. Water is a source of life. Water is a source of renewing. Water is a source. Amen. David said like this, as the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my heart panteth for thee, O God. There's something inside of me that longs, amen, for water.
Right.
Yes. Dry time can leave your mouth dry, can leave your skin dry, can leave. I noticed this, my wife went to school in Hawaii for a while. We went over there on our honeymoon. This was like 25 years ago, I think. It's when you've been married that long, but some of y'all don't know, my wife and I got married in this church right up here.
Right.
And man, it just brought back some memories. We went to Hawaii on our honeymoon. I noticed after a few days just being there, the moisture of the climate, my skin started feeling better. My hair started, can you believe my hair started feeling better? Everything was moist. Everything was, it's because the climate, you see the climate where these bones were, there was no moisture. The climate, the atmosphere, what had surrounded this valley, the atmosphere that they were in had caused them to become dry. Can I tell you, the atmosphere where you're at this morning can cause you to become dry, can cause you to become decayed, can cause you to become dormant. No life, and empty, and dry, and barren. The very atmosphere that you're involved in, maybe it's your surroundings, maybe it's the environment in your home, maybe it's the environment at your school or on your job, it allows you to become dry and dried up. No lie.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Amen.
The very atmosphere caused these bones to be coming to the position where they're at.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord took Ezekiel there. Ezekiel, go down to the sea. Compass yourself about the valley. Compass yourself about the situation. Look into the situation, Ezekiel. Can you get something out of this? And the Lord began to talk to Ezekiel. And he just told him this. He said, preach to the bones.
Preach.
Oh, Lord, what are you talking about? This is chaotic. This is final. How are you going to get a bone to live again? There's nothing here. There's nothing left. It's over. It's final. It's a loss between two victories. It's decay. It's nothing. I don't know about y'all. How many of y'all have ever seen like a dead animal that's just been decayed and dying out in the wilderness? One thing I've noticed about carcasses is they stink. One thing I noticed about man in the woods and hunting, you can tell. You can pretty much find an animal by the crows. Buzzards flying over. You don't even have to smell it. You can just hear the sounds of death. The sounds of finality. The sounds of it's over. I found many animals that way just by following the crows. Yep, looks like they're done. Showed up on the scene and you can see the decay. You can see the destruction. You can smell death is there. Man, so many times we come to church, we come to the house of God, so impacted by our environments that we live in, so impacted by the atmosphere that surrounds us, so impacted by the things, amen, in our lives that try to control us, that try to dissuade us, that try to dampen, that try to steal, to rob, to kill, to destroy. The very environment itself is destruction. Sometimes our homes can be like that. Sometimes our homes can be places of that atmosphere just puts a spirit in you, puts an attitude on you, there's a force that begins to drive. Ezekiel began to realize that there's no way out of this valley. There's no way out of this destruction. There's no way. There's no hope. There's no life. There is nothing here. God, what are you trying to tell us? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to reveal to me? Let me tell you what I'm trying to reveal to you, Ezekiel. Begin to preach to the bones. Wait a second, God. It's final. It's over. They're dry. They're very dry, as a matter of fact. There's no life at all. There is no hope. Preacher, what can you do about my situation? Preacher, what can you do about my family? Preacher, what can you do about the turmoil in my spirit? Preacher, what can you do about the atmosphere that I'm in? I can't do much for you, but can I tell you, I know a God that can do a lot for you.
Yeah.
With men, it's impossible. Without God, all things are possible. Can I tell you this morning, it's not over. It's not final. It's not the end. You may feel like you're trying your spirit today. You may feel like it's over today. You may feel like you're in a valley between two victories. Maybe it's a dry time for you. Maybe it's a struggle for you. Maybe it's a struggle to lift up your hands. Maybe it's a struggle to pray. Maybe you just feel dry in your spirit. Can I tell you, the only way you're going to get relief, the only way you're going to get redemption, the only way you're going to get freedom is you begin to pray. Amen. If you let the waters of life begin to flow in your life, if you let the preacher begin to preach to you, if you let the Spirit of God begin to work in your life, if you let God begin to preach to your bones, to your drivers. God, you know. So many times we're in this valley, so many times we're in this dry time, and we look for other things to satisfy. We look for other things. We look for other means, amen, to comfort and to solace us, but that won't satisfy. A drug won't satisfy. Another relationship won't satisfy. There's not an alcohol that'll satisfy. Can I tell you, there's nothing that'll satisfy. There's nothing that'll bring you into a place where God can talk to you. It's only by the Spirit of God, and it's through preaching. It's through preaching of the Word. You see what happened to Ezekiel? He just began to preach. God, you know they can live again. God, you know they can breathe again. God, only you can do it. I tell you this morning, it's not final. It's not over this morning. It's not. This valley isn't your resting place. This valley is not where you end up today. He just began to preach. Can I tell you, the spirits left at the preaching of the word. When the apostles began to preach, there's devils that had to go. There's addictions that's got to go. There's other ideas that got to go. You see, at the preaching of the word, the Bible tells us the spirits fled. They left at the preaching of the word. At preaching, amen, preaching of the word will bring healing to your soul.
Yes. Right.
Preaching of the word will bring healing to your mind. Preaching of the word will bring, amen, bring comfort to you. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Do you believe that preaching will save you today?
Yes.
I believe preaching will save you because God chose it. Please God, through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that would believe. I believe God will help me out of my struggle. I believe God will help me through this valley. I believe God can pour into my spirit. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost can begin to flow in this place. I believe that the Spirit of God, the waters, amen, can be poured out in this house and begin to renew and begin to restore and begin to bring to life the bones that are cast. Say our final. Can I tell you, it's not over. It's not final. Your resting place is not in the valley. God, you know if these bones can live again. You know the hurt, God. You know the trouble. You know the turmoil. God, you know the confusion. You know the chaos. Can you imagine being in that valley today where all these bones are at? This great exceeding army. What devastation, what destruction, what finality. Over. The devil's played some nasty tricks in your mind. Telling you your loved ones can't be saved. There's no way out for your loved ones. It's over. It's final for them. There's no way that I can get through this trouble. There's no way that I can get through this struggle. God, is this it? Is this the end for me? Do I end up? Is this the point where I just give up and say, man, it's over. Can I tell you this morning, it's not over. Can I tell you this morning, the valley that you're in today is not the final resting place. God never intended for you to stay in the valley. No, he chose it to be a well, a water just to spring up in that valley and to change your situation, to change your environment, to change your life, to change your situation, to change. Turn those dry bones into life again. Lauren Dangle sings a song. And the song is this. We call out to dry bones, come alive. Come alive, God, you know that these bones can live. Can I tell you this morning, come alive. It's time to come alive. It's not time to stay in that valley of dryness. It's not time to stay in that valley of death and decay and finalization, that valley of chaos and the valley of destruction. Can I tell you this morning, come alive. It's time to come alive in the Spirit. It's time to come alive and let God begin to work. It's not the end. So Ezekiel began to preach and he began to prophesy. I wonder what Ezekiel preached. I wonder what he preached. Maybe he just said this. I'm going to tell you a story about my pastor and his son. I had a son who was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. The umbilical cord was wrapped around so tight around his neck. And this happens, I would say, periodically this happens. His whole body was blue. Born without breathing. There was no breath in this kid. The doctor had done everything that he could do. They sucked his lungs out. Pumped his chest. This little baby, this brand new little baby. Born as blue as a shirt he got on. Blue as blue could be. Dead. Not breathing. Can I tell you, if you're not breathing, you're probably dead.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and pinch yourself, make sure you're alive today. I've been married for 15 years, just a little under 15 years, and it's only felt like about 15 minutes. Underwater. Not as deep. My wife stopped me the other day. She said, are you even listening to anything I have to say? And I thought to myself, now that's an interesting way to start a conversation. I'm just teasing. If you're not breathing, you're not alive. See, breath, air. The Bible tells us that when God created Adam, he breathed into Adam. He breathed into Adam. And then man became a living soul.
Right.
And the very breath of God became. Amen. When the very breath of God was put into Adam, that's when Adam became a living soul. Can I tell you this morning, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, you got no breath. Can I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you have the very breath of God. The Bible says that when the Holy Ghost was poured out, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Can I tell you this morning, you need the breath of God living in you. You need the breath of God. You need the Holy Ghost living in your life. You need the breath of God to breathe into you so you can become alive. And you can breathe and you can live and have peace. The Bible. Bible tells us when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." What happens? The Spirit of God begins to move, and the Bible tells us that this was noised abroad. It's not something you can't sit there and be quiet about. You can't sit there and just be calm about it. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, it's the very breath of God that begins to breathe into your life and breathe into your situation. It's the Holy Ghost that makes us alive, and it's the Holy Ghost that redeems us and fills us and renews us. Praise God. He began to preach. Breathe. This boy was stillborn there. No life in him. Blue as could be. And the story is told, and my pastor sits there with the doctor doing everything that they can do, having this little boy in his hand. And the doctor just began to say, "Come, boy. Come. Come, boy. Come." Nothing happened. And the doctor did it again. "Come on, boy. Come. Come on, boy. Come on." And Grant coughed. And with a fervency, the doctor began. "Come on, boy. Come on. Come on, boy. Come on. You can make it. You can make it. You can breathe again. You can live again. Come on, boy. Come on." Tried to do everything that they can. All they can do is hold this baby and hope for another cough. And he began to cough again. And he began to cough again. And the doctor, all the doctor could do was say, "Come on. Come on, boy." The Spirit is saying this morning, "Come on.
Yeah.
You can breathe again.
Yeah.
Right. Come on. You can live again.
Right. Yeah.
Come on. You don't have to. It's not final. It's not over. Your situation has not put you in a place where you're dead. And it's just destruction. And that's it. Come on. Can I tell you in the Spirit? Come on. Come on. You can breathe again. You can live again." And Ezekiel began to preach, and the Bible tells us that there was a noise and there was a shaking, and this bone began to be connected to that bone. And God took something that was chaotic and final and disorganized and began to order it and began to structure it and began to put the pieces back together. Can I tell you, that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to put your pieces back together. He wants to pull things back together. He wants to put your family back together. He wants to bring your children back together. He wants to put your homes back in order. When there seems to be destruction and chaos and finality, God says, "No, that's not the end. It ain't over yet. Let me breathe into this person. Let me breathe into their life. Let me breathe into their situation."
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Can I tell you this morning, God can put your life back together. God wants to put your life back together.
Right.
Yes. God wants to put your family back together. God wants to put the pieces back together. You see, sin will destroy you. Sin will ravage your mind and ravage your body and destroy your family and pull you in pieces and pull you in all different kinds of chaos. Kind of like Reno is chaotic. Yesterday on my way back to the church, there's 3 vehicle accidents, which is probably pretty common for y'all, but we have an accident in LeGrand and everybody knows about it. We had an accident, there was actually 2 yesterday, Friday morning we had, it rained Friday night and then it froze, got down to about 19, 20 degrees. Black ice everywhere. And on a normal day's drive from LeGrand out to another small city called Cove. It's about 15 miles. There's a couple of sharp curves. Not really sharp curves, just kind of sweeping curves. On a normal day, during the summer, you can drive 85 miles an hour on these curves, but not when there's black ice. Driving out to Cove that day, there's a car that had rolled over. You could see the skid marks off the ditch there and then down and over to this farmer's field. You could see where they had rolled 3 or 4 times, and there was garbage strung out everywhere. There was, man, stuff scattered all over the place. When you come across a thing like that, yesterday out here on McCarran, it was where McCarran meets 395 going north. They had the overpass shut down there by the Home Depot. there's a motorcycle in about 800 different pieces.